Hello, and welcome to the Rooted in Reliability podcast, your plant performance podcast, where we dive deeper into asset management techniques and know-how. I'm your host, James Kovacevic, and I will be your guide to achieving industry best practice. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is here to provide you with the insights to improve plant performance and deliver bottom-line results to your organization. In case you missed the last episode, you can find the Rooted in Reliability podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, and on the reliability.fm network. Don't forget to subscribe so you'll never miss an episode. Now let's dive into today's topic. It is my pleasure to welcome Christine Banham to the podcast. Welcome, Christine.
Hello, thank you.
So, Christine, you're VP of Operations at Sockeye Technologies.
Yes.
Now, prior to that, you spent a vast amount of time as a maintenance planner at, you know, Cameco, Anglo American, Walter Energy, and so you bring a tremendous amount of plant scheduling experience to the podcast.
Thanks.
Now, that's a very brief bio, but can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and what Sockeye is?
Sure. I've been involved with the maintenance scheduling capacity for approximately 15 years and have seen a little bit in the oil and gas as well as the mining industry. And I was very fortunate to discover Sockeye while I was doing some maintenance planning and kind of Googled it and started learning a lot more about scheduling and how some of the things that take me a very long time to do on the administration side could be summed up in just a few hours instead of a full day. I started getting more fascinated about it and learned a lot more and was welcome to the team. So now I do the operation sides and many of the implementations that we have for our clients.
Excellent. So Sockeye is really, it's a scheduling tool. It's a reporting tool that connects to SAP, Maximo, a variety of other CMMSs, correct?
Correct. It pretty much can attach to any CMMS as long as we can pull the fields.
All right, perfect. And, you know, it makes that scheduling so much easier. Like you said, it reduces that administrative time. It reduces all those other things that goes along with scheduling. You know, our planners can better spend their time doing other stuff like planning jobs and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
Now, what is your definition of scheduling? Because some people may have different opinions, so I want to make sure we're all on the same page.
When I define or I tell somebody what I do and they give me a funny look, I kind of wrap it up as saying, essentially, I'm selling or coordinating and communicating all the resources needed to complete a plan.
Excellent. And that plan, is that a day plan, a week plan, a month plan?
Depending on the job, it's typically a week plan, but sometimes you need to make recessions and do a day. But you should also have like a monthly outcast as well as a quarterly and an annual one. So you know what's coming down the pipe and you can budget accordingly.
So you're talking about having like a 52-week high level, a, you know, 12-week look ahead, you know, a month, then you get a little bit more detailed, get into the month, the week, and then the specific day.
Correct.
All right. So the different levels there. Perfect. Now, how does scheduling and maintenance differ from, say, project scheduling and other things like that?
There's a lot of different catches there. Me personally, when I was scheduling, I would say the biggest difference is when you have a project, typically you bring in a lot of contractors or you have a designated tradespeople to do that specific work. And you also have a critical path and you can adjust those accordingly. Typically in maintenance scheduling, you're working as a whole team and you're adjusting sometimes hourly, sometimes daily, weekly, monthly, as things change and as you start to critique your schedule and as things break down, whether it's employees or work or parts, whatever that might look like, and you have to readjust kind of on the spot.
All right. Excellent. So we have a lot of different things that's going on within maintenance scheduling that we have to adjust, we have to react to in real time. Whereas projects, we might not get that granular. We may have upsets in projects. It's not usually as many and as little things that come up. Is that about sum it up?
That sums it up.
Now, what are some of the challenges we face when we're trying to schedule maintenance work?
Some of them are getting pulled away to day-to-day issues or challenges. The details in your CMMS are not accurate or consistent. A lack of support or buy-in from any of your teammates. And when I say that, it could be within your maintenance department. Maybe it's in purchasing or contractors, so outside of your business. It could be operations. It could be anyone. And it becomes really overwhelming really, really fast, and you totally miss the scope of it just by getting caught up in those little details.
Yeah, so you mentioned buy-in from the other departments. How does that impact us when we're trying to schedule maintenance?
It's interesting you say that, James. And the reasons why I say that is one of the things I always say when building the schedule is the easy part. It's the selling of the schedule. And when I say that, it's you need to make sure that operations is on board. And you've communicated that, and you're coordinating with them to ensure that the equipment's available for an agreed time period. You're reviewing feedback from them for pre-shift inspections or safety topics. You get a little bit of buy-in from them, and it's amazing what you can do going forward. It's working with your supply chain and purchasing and ensuring that you're getting those parts, deliveries, rental equipment is all required. And any uncommon parts are being looked into and making sure that those get there, as well as any warranties or returns or anything like that. Your warehouse team is confirming kits or giving notice with PMs being swapped or anything like that. And your contractors or your suppliers, and you're following up with agreed times and the scope of the job, any related details that they're going to need or are required back and forth. Are they the first time that they've ever been on site and they need to be signed off? It's all of those things, and you need to make sure that you have all of that buy-in.
Yeah, it definitely makes the process easier when you have everything lined up, ready to go, aligned, all those things. The schedule just seems to come together. So that is a critical piece of maintenance scheduling, is that selling, that alignment, that sort of thing that you mentioned.
Yeah, if you just build a schedule and you hand it off to your supervisors or your tradespeople, operations, and then just walk away from it, in my experience, it doesn't get followed. You've got to sell it, and by selling it, you've got to put it behind and make it easy to follow.
Yeah, absolutely. And I find a lot of organizations really struggle with that scheduling piece, probably because that's part of it. They don't have that buy-in and partnerships with the other departments.
Yeah.
But have you ever found organizations become successful in maintenance scheduling where they're routinely hitting 80, 90% schedule compliance, high level of plan percentage time, those sorts of things?
I've seen it. I was lucky enough at one point to be involved in it, and it's pretty cool to watch. It all stems from communication. And I know that sounds really funny and really simple, but that's probably the hardest thing to accomplish. And what I mean by that is like, you're talking about it all the time, and you're not just talking about it, but actions follow it. So if something breaks and it's a small item, and it can not necessarily limp, but you can get away with it for the week, create a work order, get those parts in. You don't need to hotshot them and put the equipment down for the next week to wait for those parts, but plan it out accordingly, and it's amazing how far you'll get with it.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, what are some of those basic techniques that we need to be using within maintenance scheduling to actually develop schedules and do those reliable schedules, those schedules that are realistic, those sorts of things?
I think, again, communication's huge. Take a couple of minutes and go down to your tool. I call them tool crib meetings, but have when your team is down on the floor ready to go to work, and they're kind of going over stuff with their supervisor and doing their safety talks and stuff, have a 2-minute chat about where you guys are at with your schedule from the day before, or what's on the go this week, and hit that floor and find out from your tradespeople where you're at. Maybe they're having a bad day and it's because all of the parts are incorrect, or they got the complete wrong kit. maybe it's not your fault, but if you can readjust those and go back and fix them, it's the small little tiny details is what's going to get you guys the wins.
All right. So have that communication, focus on those small details, understand what's going well, what's not, any gaps in the schedule or coordination, those sorts of things, so you can continue to refine and improve over time, correct?
Yeah.
Excellent. Now, what tools do you typically find in use for scheduling right now? Is everyone using Excel or Project or Outlook? What's everyone using right now?
A little bit of everything. I just actually talked to a client the other day that's using Outlook and I was blown away. So I think Microsoft seems to be a big tool. Their CMMS is another huge tool that they're using. And some of it's just, you know, scraps of paper on the side of the desk and a whole whack of work orders in an Excel spreadsheet and just kind of handed to them. So it kind of varies all over the roadmap.
All right. And now I personally find a lot of people use Excel. They build a template, they export from their CMMS into Excel, they do a little manipulation and get a schedule that way.
I'd say 90% of them are that way, yes.
Okay. Now, why do you think people are using those types of systems instead of using the actual CMMS?
Because they're hard. I am a firm believer in a CMMS system and you should use it to its potential. But when it becomes hard to manipulate data, it's hard to communicate in any changes. It's hard to make changes. It's hard to override stuff. You start looking for other ways to do things. It sounds great to make a schedule in your CMMS, but if it's in concrete and you can't make changes or identify that somebody didn't come to work and all of this work is now not being done and it takes you a full day to just fix that, that's when you start to export things into Excel and try to make it so you can override those day-to-day issues.
Yeah, it's like you said, some CMMSs, they lock in schedules. They don't allow any flexibility. Others are just very hard to schedule.
Yeah.
And others are so integrated with other systems that if we schedule maintenance work, production planning can't schedule work. And it becomes this huge issue of trying to, you know, open it up so production planning can get stuff done, maintenance can get stuff done, and so on and so forth.
And then anytime a little tiny change happens, it's communicating that out too. So everybody's on the same page.
Yes, absolutely.
This podcast is brought to you by Iridicio. Be sure to check out Iridicio's IBL Blended Learning for Maintenance and Reliability Professionals. This SMRP-accredited project-based curriculum will take you through all aspects of a maintenance and reliability program and provides you with all the tools you need to generate a 30 times return on investment for your organization and a set of credentials from the University of Tennessee for you. You can find out more at ibltraining.com.
Now, what tools do you find helpful for those maintenance planner schedulers that are struggling to get work orders scheduled every day or every week? What do you find works the best?
Utilizing your CMMS and utilizing some key fields, such as if you're using SAP planner groups, dates, basic start dates is a huge one. Other tools are stuff like pre-shift inspections on moving equipment. And again, meeting with your different groups and operations and your tradespeople on the floor are huge tools. Build relationships with them because they know that equipment inside and out, and they'll be able to give you guys a lot of insight on how to help improve its quirks, anything like that.
Excellent. Yeah, and you know, some people I see using, you know, software tools again, you know, Project and Excel and all those other things to drive this and to make sure they have a schedule that's readable, shareable, all these other things. What are some of the pitfalls to using those types of tools?
I'm probably the biggest fan of Excel. I love Excel. However, building schedules within it can become your biggest time investor. Some of the issues is just people in general, right? The more people you have in Excel, the more issues you're going to have. So a lot of times things start to freeze up or databases start to corrupt. Formulas disappear even when they're locked. It just becomes the bigger the file, the slower it gets. Not all users are Excel friendly. So some people don't even know when they open up an Excel spreadsheet what they're clicking on or they're touching. And typically an Excel spreadsheet is really good if you've built it. You know what's behind the scenes, you know what you're looking at and reading. But for anybody else that's looking at it, it might not mean the same things. And that's where the communication starts to fall down or fall apart.
Yeah, and I also think one of the other major pitfalls for using Excel, in my opinion, is when you try to report on progress, try to generate KPIs, the information in the CMMS isn't right. So then you're relying on information in Excel spreadsheet, which is not really auditable if you're being audited for various reasons, because it's not aligned with your CMMS, which is supposed to be your information repository. So you have that piece trying to generate KPIs or meaningful KPIs out of Excel. While it can be done, can be very time consuming because now you're trying to pull stuff from payroll system, your CMMS and your Excel spreadsheet, combine those all to get some sort of reporting out.
Yeah. The less automated it becomes, the more mistakes happen. And we're all humans, we all make mistakes, and that's when errors start to happen. So the more you can hit a button and your data becomes there and you can just start moving stuff around, you're not losing data anymore, you're not losing information, you're not forgetting something, it's all there.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I know Sockeye comes in, you know, integrates directly with some of these CMMSs. There's a reporting dashboard that's aligned with the SMRP metrics, drag and drop scheduling. It can read and write to CMMSs. So we have that single source of truth. Everything's updated. It makes life just that much easier.
Yeah.
Now, what is the one thing you think makes the biggest difference in being successful with maintenance scheduling?
Open communication. Hit that floor, talk to your tradespeople, supervisors, your warehouse, your operations, get that feedback and talk to them about metrics and where you're at today. And I can't say that enough. It sounds silly, but by hitting that floor and getting those small little details, you can, it's amazing what you can do. You might have to update a kit, but knowing that that PM, once you've updated that kit in your CMMS system, knowing that kit's correct, the next 5 times it comes out in the next year will just make 5 other tradespeople happy. Changing something in your maintenance plan based off of some of the feedback and the follow-ups can make somebody happy because it could eliminate a step that's absolutely incorrect in whatever that plan was. So just by having that communication and not just communicating and talking about it, but actually going back and putting that feedback to paper is just, it's amazing to see the buy-in from it.
Yes, absolutely. And then from a communication to that scheduling standpoint, having a weekly scheduling meeting and a schedule lock-in meeting, you know, what do people want to see on it? What are the constraints for production? What are the constraints for operations and maintenance and aligning that? Getting everyone together in the same room, just talking through some of it eliminates a lot of that grief and effort, quite a bit of time.
And in many occasions, different teams, maintenance teams, have different strengths and weaknesses. And by allowing and talking with those teams, you're putting some work on there that might actually hit their strengths, right? And it doesn't become a schedule that's boring anymore. It's something of interest to them. And that's a win as well. By keeping them happy, it's funny how your schedule becomes successful.
Yep, exactly. Now, if you had a magic wand, what would you do to improve maintenance scheduling in most facilities?
I'd make everything perfect in your CMMS and you guys would have great teams to work with.
You're definitely going to need a magic wand for that one.
Yeah. Maintenance planning and scheduling work needs to be done well. Most importantly, like having your equipment inspections through preventive maintenance, your technical databases, your bills of materials, your work order history and your standard job plans. Having your maintenance spare parts stores have functioning well, all of those things are only going to help you. And I know rattling that off, it sounds extremely overwhelming, and it is. So take one bite, find one little thing that maybe bothers you or your team the most and you hear the most, and just pick away at it 5 minutes a day. And you'll start to see those victories at the end of it. Make it a priority to talk about it. You know, not everything's going to be perfect every day, and it's okay if things go sideways, but talk about it and work together to fix it.
Yeah. And I think that's key. Just that open communication. Some things went wrong. What can we learn from it? What can we do better? And even just appraising others of the impact to them. Okay. Operations, you're going to be 10 minutes delayed starting back up. Telling them ahead of time allows them to prepare and do things as opposed to them showing up and it just not being ready.
And everybody's okay with that, believe it or not. Everyone's willing to work together when that happens. It's when they go to pick up that piece of equipment and it's not ready, and they find out that it's not going to be another day until another day. That's when people get frustrated.
Yes, exactly. That open communication eliminates that frustration and allows them to work together, which is what scheduling really is. Now, what is the one action you want our listeners to take away from the conversation today on scheduling?
It's not as overwhelming as it sounds, I promise. Scheduling's fun and rewarding. Take it as it is and be a part of that team, right? Don't hide in the office and sit behind the computer and fight with the schedule all day. Believe it or not, that should be your easy part. And if it's not, let's find a tool that makes it easy for you guys. And recognize your successes. They might be a small little tiny success, or maybe that particular day you guys had no breakdowns, or maybe it's a huge one and you guys have a whole pile of maintenance plans built in a library. But take those successes and reward yourself and your team.
Yeah, I think that's very good. You know, reward those little successes, build on what you learned and continue to move it forward.
Yeah.
Well, Christine, where can people find out more about you, Sockeye Technologies, and those sorts of things?
Well, we have our website at getsockeye.com, and you can also find us on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Excellent. So I will make sure to put show notes to all those. But before we go, do you have any resources you want to share with our listeners to maybe help them improve scheduling or help them improve planning or anything like that?
Some of my favorites, I personally go to a maintenance and reliabilities professional blog. It's on plantengineering.com. I find that they have a lot of good little hints every now and then that I use or have passed along to some of our clients. And another one I weed through about once every couple of weeks is Maintenance World blog as well. Sometimes they have a few things that are maintenance specific, and sometimes they're more HR or financial, but I always find that those can be quite interesting.
Excellent. I will make sure to put links to all those in the show notes. Well, Christine, I want to thank you for taking the time today to talk to us about scheduling, the impact it can have on the organization, and how it really helps organizations get more work done. So I want to thank you once again for taking that time today. I truly appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me.
I would like to thank you for listening and remind you that you can always find out more on maintenance, reliability, and asset management at www.iridicio.com and by following our blog. The Rooted in Reliability podcast is a proud member of the reliability.fm network. I'd like to ask you to please rate and review this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher. It ensures the podcast stays relevant and is easy to find by like-minded professionals. It is only with your ratings and reviews that the Rooted in Reliability podcast can continue to grow. I thank you for providing this small but critical support. We'll see you next week when we dive into another burning topic with Rooted in Reliability, your plant performance podcast.